Hey guys, this is Jonathan. Thanks for joining us for episode 32 of Trivial Warfare. We have a special guest, Joel Sharpton, today. And if you're coming over from the Always Listening podcast after hearing our review, welcome, welcome. We appreciate you checking us out. Before we get started, I do need to make a disclaimer today. Unfortunately, our sound quality on this episode is not up to par with what we normally produce. I made a couple of mistakes during the recording process, and as a result, you'll hear some static when we are getting excited. So I just wanted to apologize for that and let you know that that is not normal, but the quality of the episode is still good. I really enjoyed spending some time with Joel, and I hope you enjoy the episode. Also, please listen till the end of the episode. I know some of you like to listen to the trivia and then cut it off, Andy Highbrook, and it would be great if you stuck around to the end today because there is an announcement at the end of the show that is worth listening to. So I will leave it at that. I hope you enjoy the show, and without further ado, this is episode 32 of Trivial Warfare. Warheads, welcome back to Trivial Warfare. We are the podcast that takes a pub quiz out of the pub and brings it home to you. My name is Jonathan, and I am here with our old friend Mark. Say hello, Mark.
Hey, guys.
Long time no see, man.
It's been a while.
It has been a while. Welcome back.
Thank you, thank you.
And we are here with our special guest, Joel Sharpton. Say hello, Joel.
Hey, thank you, Jonathan and Mark, for having me on the show. I'm a big fan of the show, a big fan of the game, and I'm looking forward to playing, man.
Well, we're glad that you're here. Now, you, my friend, are a podcaster.
I am. I'm guilty as charged.
You do a show called Always Listening, which is a podcast review show.
And you're going to be on the operating table, or the under the microscope, I should say, very, very soon, as we're going to review this show next, as a matter of fact. As this episode releases, our very next review to be released will be of Trivial Warfare. But what we have done traditionally, Jonathan, is we used to be called Pod on Pod. Josh Shirley is my co-host. He and I, we loved podcasts for years. We did a show, a little comedy show, just the two of us being goofy. And what we found is as that built and we got more into the medium, we were coming into the studio and spending 10 to 15 minutes talking about other shows that we listen to. And he points out, he's like, man, this should be our show. This is a better show than what we do. And so we switched. We did.
this is better. We're better talking about other podcasts than we are at being funny.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So we dropped the shtick and we dropped our explicit stuff and we really focused on the podcast reviews. And we did Pod on Pod for a while and we had a really good time with that. But as we wanted to change a few things, we wanted to sort of polish off the rough edges. We wanted to add a few things to it and focus it a little bit more. And as we were thinking about that, it turns out we really wanted a whole new show. We wanted to sort of leave the legacy of Pod on Pod behind and really rebrand. So that's where Always Listening came from. And it's out there now. We've got our first review up with Fugitive Waves from the Kitchen Sisters. So we got lots of great shows for you, and we think everybody should find the perfect podcast for them, and that's what we're trying to do.
Now, and you also do another show, and that show is called What Makes Me Weird with Joel Sharpton. So yeah. In a short snippet, tell me what makes you weird.
Man, lots of stuff makes me weird. As a matter of fact, in the very first episode of that relaunched show, it used to be called Me and the Geek. But in the very first episode, we talk about my eating habits. Jonathan, I'm just going to tease it like this. I don't eat wet food.
Wow.
I know that's you're like, I want to know more, right? Well, now you have to go and listen to What Makes Me Weird with Joel Sharpton. Look that up. What Makes Me Weird. It's in iTunes. It's on Stitcher. It's on all over the place. And of course, we're at our new network, Blog Talk Radio.
So what are the websites for Always Listening and What Makes Me Weird?
The best place to keep up with me altogether, and you can find all of my shows there, you can just go to joelsharpton.com. That's a good place to keep up with me. And it's got links for all of our social accounts, too. You can follow me on Facebook and Twitter, et cetera, et cetera.
Perfect. All right. So we're going to go ahead and get started with a little game of Warm It Up, Chris.
Warm it up, Chris.
I'm about to.
Warm it up, Chris.
That's what I was born into.
Now, I am playing the role of Chris today, and I pulled a list of the top-selling board games of all time.
All right?
And I want you guys to go back and forth and name the board games on this list of the top 10 selling of all time. So we'll start with Mark.
All right, I'll go with the obvious Monopoly.
Monopoly is number 5 on the list.
Wow, that is surprising. I'm going to go a little out of the box. I'm going to say Ouija.
Ouija is not considered a board game.
You're kidding me. It's sold by Mattel or Parker Brothers or whatever.
Not on the list.
I thought I would save one there. Well, am I out? Have we
you're
finished the game in the very beginning?
It's not a in or out kind of game, but you are behind.
Okay.
If you keep doing poorly, I might have to dock you points in the real game.
Oh, my goodness.
Mark, what do you got?
I'm going to say Life.
Life is not on the list. All right, Joel.
Scrabble.
Scrabble is number 4 on the list.
I thought Monopoly was number 4 on the list.
Monopoly was number 5.
Oh.
Scrabble has sold more than Monopoly.
That's garbage. I'm going to go with Risk.
Risk is number 10.
No. Okay.
Risk made the list. Joel?
I'm going to say, Sorry?
I'm sorry. That's not on the list.
No.
I'm glad you said that because I was going to go with Sorry.
You guys aren't thinking quite out of the box enough, I don't think.
Oh, my God.
Number 1 and 2 are really obvious, and you really should be
really?
Getting them. Yes.
Oh, shoot. Oh, my God. I can't even think of other board games. Trouble.
I'm sorry. That is not on the list. I'll give you one more shot. Joel.
Chutes and Ladders.
I'm sorry. Not on the list.
You're kidding me.
Oh, my goodness. You're going to hate yourselves. Okay.
Pictionary?
Pictionary, yes. Pictionary is on the list. Number 9.
Trivial Pursuit.
Trivial Pursuit is number 8. How did we not get Trivial Pursuit? Our godfather, so to say. There would be no Trivial Warfare without Trivial Pursuit. Let's just be honest.
I'm looking around the room trying to find any board games, and I can't find any.
No, they're all in a closet.
So far, this show is a great example of how none of us are normal people, I think. That's the big takeaway so far.
So here you go. Number 8 on the list was Trivial Pursuit. Number 7, Othello.
What?
I never would have gone
I understand.
There.
That's the one I didn't expect you to get.
Now I'm thinking of some.
Number 6, Clue.
Oh.
Clue. Number 3, Backgammon.
And where's Checkers?
Checkers is number 2.
Shoot.
And chess is number 1.
And now see, I was very much going, and I think, Mark, you were on the same track as me. Brand names, right?
Yeah. Like Strat. Yeah, that kind of stuff.
I'm sorry. You're both losers.
We are. We're terrible losers.
Not the first time I've been
told. Not very good at chess, if that makes up for any of this.
All right, Mark. Well, that warm it up, Chris, was brought to you by absolutely nothing, and we crashed and burned, I think. So let's try and redeem ourselves. Why don't we get this game started?
All right, let's do it. All right, your first category of the game, food. Which celebrity chef owns the Lady and Sons restaurant in downtown Savannah, Georgia?
I know the answer immediately. Do you need to think?
I need to think of her name. I have a picture of her in my mind's eye, but I can't. My mother would be so ashamed of me that I can't call her out.
I've written down my answer, so you're free to talk.
Her name is... Oh, God, no, I'm not going to get it. All I can envision is people riding her in memes, little images of her.
That's a very scary image.
You know what I'm talking about? Yeah. Oh, my God.
Where would you have seen her?
I watch her show.
Show?
I mean, not all the time, but I mean, I have seen her show. And then very specifically, I am thinking about the controversy of her past use of the N-word her treatment of some of her wait staff.
He knows who it is.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, no, I know precisely who it is. Oh, I'm serious. My mother is going to be so disappointed in me. It's right on the tip of my tongue. It starts with a D, I want to say. It's Dottie. It's Dory. It's Della. It's not coming to me.
Oh, my goodness. All right.
Yeah, I give.
My answer is Paula Deen.
Dean, yes, Miss Dean, of course.
Paula Deen.
You were using the D as the first name, and it should have been if you just thought it was last
Paula,
name.
Paula, yeah. She of the strapping young men, by the way, her and her sons owning the business together, or the restaurant being named for her and her sons, that's the one that immediately gave it away to, because my mother is in love with her sons, both of them, and she was so disappointed when I think the younger one got married. He's the most recent one to get married or whatever. She was like, he's finally off the market. I'm like, you've been married for 40 years. Woman, stop it. You're not on the market.
Oh, my goodness.
All right. Second category, geography.
All right.
What river forms the border between Texas and Mexico?
One, two, three.
The Rio Grande.
Very good.
Yeah. You're supposed to say one, two, three with me, by the way.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yes, we will do that in the future.
I need you to say one, two, three with me. Otherwise, I sound like an idiot.
All right.
All right. 10 points for both of us there.
Good job.
I won't leave you hanging next time.
That's right.
All right. Third category of the round, science.
Science.
What is the name of the nearest galaxy to ours?
Yes, I believe I know the answer.
Okay, so if you write it down, then I can talk a little bit, and you can just show the answer once it's your time. Are you written?
Yes, I'm written.
All right, so I know Sirius is, you said galaxy?
Yep.
Galaxy. See, I think of constellations, not galaxies. The only galaxy that I can name other than the Milky Way galaxy is...
Is it Snickers?
That's so bad.
Yeah.
I'm going to say the Andromeda galaxy. I'm just guessing at it. All right, Joel, show us what you got. What do you got?
I have a very incorrect answer. I put Alpha Centauri system is what I put there. Can you see that?
I can. That could be right.
Yeah, we can see it.
Yeah. Let's see. What's the right answer?
It's Andromeda Galaxy.
Oh, yeah.
The Alpha Centauri system is the closest solar system to our own. Alpha Centauri is the nearest star besides our own star, but I got confused there on the question.
Mm-hmm. Those are, you know, it does get challenging there. Those are big differences, though.
If I would have been clear thinking there, I never would have gotten to Andromeda. I think Andromeda is a galaxy that I have heard of, but I would have been at a loss. I would have been stumbling and bumbling.
So after round one, it is 30-10 in Jonathan's favor.
I'm starting poorly, Joel.
I'm losing ground here.
Oh my goodness. There's plenty of time though.
Yep. All right. Round two. First category is history. What country's flag was Christopher Columbus sailing under when he discovered America?
Got it.
All right, this question always, I've looked at this 1,000 times, and I always get screwed up with this. It's one of three countries. I believe Columbus was an Italian, but I don't think it was Italy, so that's one of the countries. Then it's either Spain or Portugal. They were both huge naval powers. They both were expansionary. I know Columbus went to Ferdinand and Isabella. This was actually during the time of the Inquisition, right? And I know that Columbus went to Ferdinand and Isabella, and I can never remember if they turned him down and so then he went to Portugal and got funding, or if he had tried in Portugal and failed and then went to Ferdinand and Isabella. So I'm going to say he was flying under the flag of Portugal.
All right.
Columbus was Portuguese. He was flying under the flag of Spain, my friend.
It is Spain.
Oh, God, I hate Columbus.
Yeah.
For him and his day. Let's just say that right now.
Wow. All right, let's throw some more culture. Your next category is music. What's the largest instrument in a string quartet?
I have my answer.
Are you a music guy, Joel?
I am a little bit. I believe I know the answer to this. It's possible that there's one that's larger than what I'm thinking of, but I think I got the answer.
So I'm going to go you said a string quartet.
Yes, sir.
Okay, so a string quartet's definitely going to have a violin. It's definitely going to have a cello. It's definitely going to have that's where I get lost. The biggest string instrument altogether is a bass. And the question is there a bass in the quartet? And I can't think of anything smaller than the violin. I guess a viola is a smaller one, but I don't know. I'm going to go with a bass and just hope that it's in there.
I went with cello.
It is the cello.
Oh, come on! Stupid string quartets.
I'm assuming that was a technicality, right? Because the stand-up bass is, I believe, larger than the cello. That was my...
It's not in the string quartet.
There you go.
Jonathan's just jealous that he missed
so
it.
To answer your earlier question after the fact, Jonathan, yes, I am a music guy, as a matter of fact.
Touche. Your last category of the round is movies. What Kevin Costner movie flopped at the box office and lost nearly $87 million in 1995?
Got it.
Three, two, one. Waterworld.
Yep. Yeah. You got it. Too easy.
It could have been a close running with The Postman, depending upon your date there, I guess.
Yeah, depending on the year.
True.
I don't know if they spent as much money on The Postman, though.
No, that one was a lot lower budget, but I think it made even less.
It's less water.
Right. They didn't have to build giant tanks.
Yeah, that's right.
Hey, let's just take a moment here, though, to speak in defense of Waterworld. If you've never seen the movie, set aside the budgetary issues that you've heard about. Set aside the fact that this movie was a flop at the box office and lost a lot of money. There's a lot of pretty good stuff there in that sci-fi movie.
Are you defending Waterworld?
I am. I'm telling you, Dennis Hopper is kind of great as the bad guy. Like, it's really, really fun. Kevin Costner's character is a really interesting...
Jean Triplehorn's good looking.
She's beautiful. But I mean, overarching the idea of that world was pretty cool and pretty thorough and very original in some ways.
I'm not buying the originality angle of that. It feels like Mad Max on water.
Hey, but Mad Max, they never made a Mad Max on water,
that's
right?
That's what I'm saying. That's not original. That, remember, so you had Die Hard on a plane. You had Die Hard on a plane with like Air Force One. You had Die Hard on a bus with Speed. You had Die Hard in a boat with Speed 2. So you know what I mean? It's just like, let's take this movie and remake it in as many different places as possible. That's what Waterworld was doing.
Yeah, I can see that. I can see that. But again, I feel like the Mad Max movies are all good. I really like those. I could put one on water. I'm fine with that.
Oh, you and Chris would get along great. He loves bad movies. by the way, score check after the second round. That was humbling. It is now 40-40. It's a tie ball game.
Coming from behind.
That's right.
All right, round three. First category is nicknames. What state's official nickname is the Pelican State?
Oh,
you're
I got
kidding
it.
Me, right?
No.
He lives in the Pelican State.
Oh, really?
It's Louisiana.
True story.
I did not know that.
So I don't even need you to say it because I know you know
how
it.
Would I know
Here's
that?
What's so funny. Here's what's so funny. The theme song to my new show, What Makes Me Weird with Joel Sharpton, is a song called From the Great Pelican State by an artist I know named Adam Dale.
How does it go? Can you sing it for us?
The chorus is, here's to you from the great Pelican State. It's very good. Adam sings it better than that.
And you chose that as your theme song.
Wow.
I did. It's good, man.
I could tell.
I love him as an artist. Good guy.
Gotcha.
Guy.
Oh. So, yeah, that was a slow-pitch softball for Joel here.
I did not even
know. I'm lucky I knew it.
All right, see if we can get one in Jonathan's wheelhouse. Your next category.
Where is Jonathan sitting?
Yeah. What is Jonathan's address? All right, your next category is sports.
Sports.
What National Football League team plays their home games at M&T Bank Stadium?
Oh, boy. M&T, like letters M and letter T?
M and T, yes.
Where the hell is M and T? Joel, for the record, I hate sponsorship name stadiums.
Yeah, me too.
Back when they were all like Riverfront Field and Three Rivers Stadium, and I knew all of those.
The geographically dictated ones.
I mean, I would have known it if you had said what stadium or what team plays in, you know, the Mercedes-Benz Superdome, for instance.
But, I can take that, yeah.
But I mean, honestly, like, what affiliation would you put Mercedes-Benz with the Saints? Like, there's no connection there.
Oh, they're both classy organizations.
Yeah, maybe, I guess. Mercedes-Benz never put a bounty on any of the other car companies that I know of. But you know, I mean, no, you're right. It's a complete disconnect. M&T Bank Stadium. I got to tell you, I'm just going to take a flyer here whenever you're ready. I'll take a guess, I think, because I'm not going to be more confident about the answer than I am right now.
I got to think about it a little bit.
Okay.
I'm running through. Have you written it down?
I have not, but I can. I'm going to go ahead and lock one in. Yeah. Okay. That one.
That one. I got to think it's probably something out west. It's not Denver. M&T. Reliant. No, that's Texas. We saw, while we were in Dallas at Podcast Movement, we went to a Rangers game with Ramona and Mark Asquith and Andrew Levitt.
Nice.
And I didn't know, but right across the street from the ballpark in Arlington is Jerry World.
Oh,
so,
yeah.
It's gigantic. That dome is massive. Huge.
I hate the Cowboys on several different levels. I mean, like, with a fiery passion. I don't even really follow the NFL that much anymore, but I still hate the Cowboys.
Just on principle.
Just on principle, exactly.
All right, so I'm going to have to throw an answer out here. I really, truthfully, don't have any single stinking idea. I know teams, I know about half of the names of the stadiums in the league. I'm going to say Baltimore. I'm going to say the Baltimore Ravens.
That's a good one. That's a really good guess, actually. I went with the Lions.
So I think the Lions are Ford Field.
Detroit. You're probably right. Yeah. I was thinking, what could M&T stand for? My first thought was mountain. And I'm like, no, that's MNT.
So what is the answer?
Since 2003, that's the home of the Baltimore Ravens.
Oh, my God. Oh.
Wow.
Holy moly.
Well, I was thinking if you had literally given us a sheet of paper, Mark, and like, you know, it was old school matching like in elementary school, and here was the names of the teams and here was the names of the stadiums, how many could I have done with confidence correctly? And yeah, truthfully, I mean, what are there? There are 30 some odd teams in the league? 32?
Yeah, 32.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, 32 teams. I think out of 32, I probably could have gotten 10 to 14, maybe.
It's harder now than it used to be.
Yeah.
That's true.
Oh, I just gave you credit where credit was not deserved. Let me take your 10 away. Oops.
Thank you.
Yeah, no problem.
Keep it fair. Keep it fair.
Absolutely.
I don't need your charity.
All right. Your next category is logos.
Logos. You got a picture for us?
No.
Oh.
You have to visualize. What color are both letter G's in Google's standard logo?
Oh, wow.
How ironic that you're both staring at computers right now, but there's no Google there.
Okay, I have an answer. I'm not confident in it, but I have an answer.
The first O is yellow. The second O is red. It's either green or blue. I'm going with blue.
Blue, my friend. Blue.
Blue.
They are both blue.
Oh, thank goodness. You hate to think that you're going to miss something as obvious as that. You know what I mean? So that's the end of round three.
Yep.
Already. Is. Wow, we're moving fast. Okay, so at the end of round three, Jonathan swept that round. He has 70. Joel got 20 points in that round. He has 60. It is 60 to 70. Very tight game.
Nice.
All right. Your halftime question. Excluding the Terminator movies, name four of the five highest grossing films at the U.S. box office starring Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Schwarzenegger.
So no Terminator movies.
No Terminator films.
And you only want four. All right. Let's see.
Yeah, that's the one I just wrote down, too.
Damn. Yeah, I realized I'm talking it out loud. Shut up, Joel. I'm trying to think of what he's done lately.
Now, is it anything he made an appearance in, or did he have to star?
In this case, he actually starred in them.
Oh, thank you. Okay, so he starred in them.
I got three, but that fourth one is rough for me. I don't know about you, Jonathan.
I've only got two so far. So I have a couple that I'm kicking around, but I just don't think they're right. I'm not a big Arnold fan.
Okay, I've got my four. I'm not super confident in them, but I've got my four.
Okay, so you've written all four down?
Mm-hmm.
So I'll go ahead and talk my list out. I've written down three. I'm not locking them in yet. But the three I've written down are True Lies, Twins, Last Action Hero. And I know Last Action Hero was considered a flop, but that doesn't mean it didn't make plenty of money.
That's an interesting one. I've got the other two on my list. I don't have that one.
And I'm thinking other things that I'm thinking about are Kindergarten Cop. And then, honestly, my mind starts to go blank. I think he was in The Expendables. I don't know how much money The Expendables made. But you said he was in a starring role, and he wasn't really a star of that. Literally, the only other Arnold Schwarzenegger movie I'm thinking of is Kindergarten Cop. I don't even know if I can name another one.
Oh, no, if we were playing that game, I could go very, very deep.
I'm not a movie guy.
I am an Arnie fan.
You're trying to watch 100 movies this year.
Yeah.
I'm going to watch maybe two, maybe one. I'm not kidding you. I'm trying to think if I've seen a movie. Yes, I saw Batman The Dark Knight Rises this year.
Nice.
That's the only movie I've watched this
really?
Year.
You're
really?
A little
Holy
late on
cow.
That one.
Yes, that's, I know.
Yeah.
It's the only one I've watched all year.
Oh, wow.
And it was because it was in my DVR, and I really wanted to get it off of my DVR.
You needed space.
Yes. All right, so I'm just going to go with that. I'm going to say True Lies, Twins, Last Action Hero. The Predator is the other one I thought of, but I don't think Predator is going to be on the list. Last Action Hero and Kindergarten Cop.
All right.
So my list is True Lies, Twins, The Expendables, and Predator.
Okay.
All right.
So we both, I said all of the ones that were on your list, so there's probably something in there we weren't thinking of.
Yeah, there's there's at least one obvious in there. True Lies was number one. Total Recall.
Oh, no!
Now, see, that one surprises me because it was not only an R-rated movie, but it was a fairly hard R at the time.
Yeah, you know, the lady with three...
Yeah, exactly, and I would have thought that that fantastic. One would have just been limited because of the nature of the type of movie that it was.
You know what though, I liked it.
Yeah, no,
I thought
movie.
It was a good movie.
Way better than the remake.
Oh yeah, I didn't see that. Obviously,
yeah, that was bad. Twins.
All right.
Batman and Robin.
Oh, what? Mr. Freeze, we just did an all comics episode, Joel. I don't know if you've listened to that one.
I have.
And
it was
so
a good
Mr.
one.
Freeze, we literally made jokes about Arnold and Mr. Freeze, and I did not think of it at all.
It's going to be a hot time in the old town tonight.
And the last one on the list is Eraser.
Oh God,
I was trying to think of some of the later movies that he did.
When you see later movies, though, wasn't that like in the late 90s?
Well, yeah, but I mean later in his career.
Years ago.
Yeah, but it was late in the. It was right on top of the Governator period.
So I think we both.
Each of you got two.
Two. So we both get 10 points. All right. So that puts us at 80 for Jonathan and 70 for Joel. All right, let's go ahead and hit round four.
All right, round four. Your first category is science.
Science.
What connective tissue is looser than normal in a double-jointed person? As Jonathan's moving about.
I'm wiggling my shoulders and trying to think what it is that would be looser than normal to allow me a bigger range of motion.
It was two words that I was going back and forth on. Is it this one or is it that one?
Same thing.
I believe I've got mine locked in. I believe I know which one it is.
The two that I'm thinking of are cartilage and tendons. Ligaments. Three. And now that I think about it, I think it's ligaments. I'm going to say ligaments.
I went with cartilage.
Oh. It would be ligament.
Yes.
Oh, no.
Yes.
I had ligament. So I wrote cartilage on one side of the paper and wrote ligament on the other. And I boxed cartilage and I scratched through ligaments.
Did you?
Over on the other side. Yeah. To lock in my answer.
So, connective. All three of them I consider to be connective.
I was going back and forth between the tendon and the ligament as the other alternative. But in my mind, I was thinking ligament meant bigger and tendon meant smaller.
Oh, no. I think they're totally different things.
I think you're right.
Yeah. So when I was moving my shoulder back and forth, like my arm and
right. You're like, is this a tendon?
Like, so it's not really like I thought to myself, cartilage isn't really stopping me from moving. It's probably I'm stretching something. And if it's looser, then it just lets you stretch farther. And so I tried to think of something that stretched from one place to another. And that's where I got ligament from.
All right.
Your next category is sports.
Oh, thank goodness.
Baseball question.
Oh, yeah.
I have a feeling that this is...
Do you like baseball, Joel?
I don't even like to acknowledge that it's a sport.
Oh, God. What is it with the baseball hate?
Hey, no, you know, here's the deal. I grew up in the house of a real baseball lover. My dad was a huge baseball fan.
Okay.
And it's a really boring sport. I was exposed to it a lot. It goes really slow. And
you have to get into the passion of it, into the stress and the pressure of it.
All right, your sports question. What Kansas City Royals player had his bat confiscated in a game against the New York Yankees in the famous Pine Tar incident?
I'll write mine down. I can still see him, as soon as you said bat confiscated, I knew who it was. I can still see him, he runs out of the dugout and his arms are flailing and his face is bright red with rage as he's running towards the umpire and gets right in his face. It is one of the most iconic moments of baseball history.
And I am clueless about it.
That's why I gave the whole description.
I'm even trying to think of a famous Kansas City Royal, and my mind goes blank now.
This is the one.
Literally,
yeah, Mr. Royal, really.
Mm-hmm. I am going to say, Maguire.
That is incorrect, my friend.
Yeah, yeah.
The answer is George Brett.
That is correct.
Have you ever heard of George Brett?
I have heard the name, yes.
He is one of the greatest hitters of all time. Truly. Now, not like one of the greatest sluggers of all time, but one of the greatest all-around hitters. I keep giving you points where you don't earn points.
Yeah, don't give me points on that one.
All right.
All right, your last category of the round, movies.
Movies. Oh,
thank
this
you.
Is not for me.
All right, yeah. Name the actor or actress that appeared in all of the following movies. Gone, Baby, Gone, The Truman Show, and The Right Stuff.
Oh, jeez, I've never watched any of these.
It's payback for your sports question.
It really is. I think I've seen plenty of advertisements for The Truman Show like 15 years ago. Was The Right Stuff Tom Cruise like a long time ago? I think it was.
I have.
It was the New Kids on the Block biography.
The Right Stuff. Oh.
I have my answer, I believe.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I've written it down.
Okay, so.
The only one of those movies I have not seen, by the way, is Gone, Baby, Gone. That is the.
That's the most recent one, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. And that's. That was the Affleck, wasn't that?
No, that was Gone Girl.
Gone Girl. Good, right. Well, no, but didn't Casey Affleck do Gone, Baby, Gone?
I have no idea.
Oh, he might have.
I think he did.
Well, did you say actor or actress?
Yes, could be one or the other.
I know it's not Casey Affleck now. Thank you.
I don't think Casey Affleck was born when The Right Stuff was put out. I'm not sure.
I think that was Tom Cruise.
And Casey Affleck was in Gone, Baby, Gone.
You wrote yours down, right?
Yes.
Yes. Okay. So it's not going to be Tom Cruise. Truman Show was Jim Carrey, but he's not going to be in The Right Stuff. Gone, Baby, Gone. I have no idea anything about Gone, Baby, Gone. I'm trying to think, maybe there was a love interest in The Right Stuff that aged well and still famous 10 years later, 20 years later. Or maybe it was a kid or something. Yeah, I'm going to go with that angle. I'm going to guess Drew Barrymore. She may not be in any of them, by the way, but it's just a guess.
Okay, I went with the other angle. I knew a lot of the people that were in Truman Show, and so I worked backwards to who could have possibly been. Who did I think was in The Right Stuff? And I've literally seen The Right Stuff once, and it was a million years ago. I went with Ed Harris.
Okay.
It is Ed Harris.
Oh, my God!
Yeah.
Yeah, baby.
Wow.
I was like 99% certain that he was in The Right Stuff, and I knew for a fact that he played the director and the creator of The Truman Show in The Truman Show, Christoph, or whatever his name is.
Yep.
And then I was, again, 90% certain that he played like the dad or the stepfather or the father-in-law or whatever figure in Gone, Baby, Gone. So like I was like, that's my guy. As soon as you mentioned those three movies, I was like, it's got to be Ed Harris, right? He's in all of those. I know he is.
Yep.
He was the thing I know him best from, I think, is, was he in The Abyss?
Yes.
That's the one movie for him that really stands out to me.
Oh man, it's The Rock for me. He's so good in The Rock.
Oh yeah.
I don't remember him in The Rock. Was he the bad guy?
Yes.
Yeah, he's the the quote unquote bad guy. He's got a great mission, and he's got a great reason d'etre, you know, so to speak, or whatever, for what he's going after. And in the end, he doesn't want to go through with the nefarious scheme. You know, it's his second in command that steps up, and he's like, "You're too weak-willed," and pushes him out of the way. He's just trying to get vets, you know, the help that they need once they get home. These black op vets.
I should rewatch that movie.
It's so good.
I watch it probably once every 3 months.
I haven't seen once every three
yeah,
months.
I literally do.
Wasn't it Nick Cage?
Yeah.
Yes, Nick Cage and Sean Connery. Here's what you have to do, though. You have to go watch a couple of the old Sean Connery Bond movies, then go watch The Rock.
Because you're asking a lot of me, dude.
No, look, what you don't know is, or what people overlooked, the Sean Connery character was very clearly supposed to be Sean Connery's James Bond character years later. So the idea is that he leaves the MI6 and is captured by the American authorities and is locked away for the massive amount of secrets that he knows about the American government. He's not allowed to continue to function. They throw him in a hole, and then they have to get him out. Why? Because he's the only guy that's ever broken out of
Alcatraz.
Exactly.
So I have
exactly.
a problem with that premise, though.
What?
He's James freaking Bond. They can't throw him in a hole for 20 years. He's James Bond. He's going to escape.
But he did. He escaped several times. That's the whole point. You know, he's escaped from all of these facilities, including even Alcatraz.
Yeah, but now they've threw him in a hole and they've been containing him, and they can't do that. He's James Bond. He's a superhero.
I'll go back and watch the movie. But that's exactly what he did. So it's a series of over the 20 or 30 years that he's been locked up. He's escaped several times already.
He has been
a continual thorn in their side, and they finally sort of tamed the beast, so to speak, and now they have to bring him out for this one specific purpose. His acting in it in particular is really, really good. It's one of the reasons why I'm angry that we were robbed of more late Sean Connery performances. I think sometimes he's just taking it easy and being lazy, but you know, he retired.
I was about to say, did he die?
No, he's still alive.
What do you mean we were robbed of late performances?
He hasn't done anything since the Forrest Whitaker movie. What was the Finding Forrest or whatever?
Finding Neverland?
No, he played he's like an aging author, and a young black kid takes him on as a mentor.
I think
it's Finding Forrest is the name of it, but Forrest Whitaker is also in that movie, so Okay. It's confusing.
It is very confusing.
But anyway, after that, the only thing that he's done is there was some Scottish animated film recently that he gave his voice to. But, you know, we haven't seen a Sean Connery performance in the last few years. That's a shame.
Well, with Nick Cage again.
Yeah, right. After round four, Jonathan has 100 and Joel has 80.
Uh-oh.
So it's still a very tight game. That last question there helped you there. I was on a roll.
Yeah, saved me out.
Round five. Your first category is time. What time is it? No,
dum,
just kidding.
Dum, 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 dum.
What's the time difference in hours?
We were just talking about Joel struggling with time zones.
Oh, perfect.
Before you got here.
All right. What's the time difference in hours between Miami, Florida and Honolulu, Hawaii?
Oh, God.
It is more than Okay, I've got my answer.
So I work at a global company, and we have a branch in Hawaii.
Nice.
Yes. I should visit. I should do a site visit someday. and I'm trying to think. So when we do work that brings the network down, we have to consider time zones, because we can't shut down at 7 o'clock. It'll take the people from California off the grid, and we'll have problems, right? And so Hawaii expands that, and our safe zone is either 10 or 11 o'clock, which would equate to 5 hours or 6 hours off of the time zones. So I'm going to go with 6 hours. I'm going to say it's a 6-hour difference.
I said 7 hours.
It is 5 hours.
So I was giving the extra hour, which must be a buffer that we do.
Mm-hmm.
That's... doggone it.
Yep.
One great start in round five for both of us there.
I think you'll both pick it up with the next one.
All right.
Literature is your category.
Excellent.
Who wrote the Canterbury Tales?
Got it.
You want 3, 2, 1?
Yeah.
3, 2, 1,
Chaucer.
Yep, Chaucer.
That was nice and easy for us.
Yep, throw a little egg out there. Your last category of the round, music. Well, it's New Kids on the Block question.
Is it seriously?
Nice. Yes, it is.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Who's your favorite New Kid?
I can only name one.
I celebrate the entire group.
Their whole oeuvre is just too much for me. I can't pick a favorite.
Exactly. What is the last name of the two brothers that were part of the 80s group New Kids on the Block?
Come on, man.
Everybody knows. You have a t-shirt in your closet with them, Jonathan.
Dude. I wasn't popular as a kid, and they were popular, so I had no clue. I had nothing to do with them. Oh, jeez. I literally only know. There's only one last name that I can even name on the whole band.
So I'm writing last names as we speak. Hey, let me.
Well, here, let me write mine down, and you can talk it out.
Yeah, there you go.
All right, go for it.
Okay, so you've got Donnie, Danny, Joseph, Jordan. And I'm missing one. I'm missing the odd looking one.
Did Joseph go by Joey?
Joey.
Whoa.
You got Joey McIntyre. He's the baby. You got Jordan McKnight was sort of the lead singer.
Oh, did he become like a solo act later?
Yeah.
His name's
indeed.
Familiar.
And Jordan still hangs out a lot with the Wahlbergs. And then you've got Donnie and Danny. And I say Donnie and Danny, it was Donnie Wahlberg, Danny was I can't remember Danny's last name. Here's the tricky thing, though. I did not remember Brothers, except for the fact that once upon a time in the original incarnation of New Kids on the Block, and I'm wondering if this is the question that you're asking, in the original incarnation, Mark and Donnie Wahlberg were both members of the band. Mark split off and
Marky
formed
Mark and the Funky Bunch.
Exactly. He did not stick with the band because he was literally too hardcore for the boy band image. He wanted to do more of his own thing. He wanted to do more of the rap stuff, and that's not what the band wanted. I cannot think of what the other last name would be. I don't remember there being McKnight brothers. I know there wasn't a McIntyre brother other than Joey. I'm going to say it was the Wahlbergs.
Let me hold my paper up for you.
Wahlberg, yep, there it is. I can see
I
it.
I said
yep.
Wahlberg.
The original lineup. Jonathan and Jordan Knight.
Oh, Knight, not McKnight.
There's a Jonathan in the group. Knight. Really? You had to choose a Jonathan answer?
Yes, the Knights. They were the brothers.
I really do not remember Jonathan Knight. Was he always, did he stay with the group or did he fall out?
He is, even to this day, they are currently touring, by the way. The Knight brothers are still with the group touring right now.
Wow, look at that.
We both got 10 points for the entire round. It is now, that's 110 for Jonathan to 90 for Joel.
Can we just talk about how embarrassing it is for me to have unloaded that much New Kids on the Block information and still gotten the question wrong?
That was a lot of knowledge right there.
He was dropping New Kids knowledge on us and still missed it. You didn't even get the benefit of it all.
I know, right? The only band from the 80s that would have been more embarrassing to know more about, and yet I still could have probably answered the question, would have been Milli Vanilli. I was a huge Milli Vanilli fan.
I thought you were going to say Wham.
Round six. First category, television. What TV show did Rose McGowan, Shannon Doherty, and Alyssa Milano all star in at one time or another?
Got it.
You want to do it together?
Yeah.
Three, two, one. Charmed?
Yes.
That was, you know what's funny is the girl who was probably the least famous was my favorite. She came from a show, I can't remember her name, like Lisa Ann something or Lisa Marie something. She came from a show called Picket Fences, where she was the older daughter in the Tom Skerritt's family. That was the main family in the show. Picket Fences, by the way, I'm not a big TV guy. That was, as a kid growing up in the 90s, that was probably my favorite show. I loved that show.
I never watched it myself that much, but I know my parents were big into that. They watched it a lot.
Totally worth finding on DVD. Totally worth it.
I was a big fan of Charmed for the first couple of seasons. That was right around the same time as like Buffy and Angel on the WB or whatever.
It was right afterwards. Right after Buffy was famous, they were like, "Let's do more of this."
Yeah. And so I was watching a lot of dark magic stuff in the middle of the week back then as a kid. I guess now that I think about it.
Right. All right.
Next category, presidents.
All right. Now, are you a president's guy, Joel?
I am a poli-sci major from college.
Oh,
so,
okay.
Yes, sir. Yeah.
Well, boy, that actually intimidates me. I'm a communications major.
All right. Your president's question. Who was the president in 1800?
In the year 1800?
Yes.
No, in the century.
In the year of our Lord, in the century. 1800 AD.
Okay, I've got mine.
Okay, so Washington was officially, this may be wrong, so I'm just going to say it up front, okay? But I think that we didn't have a president until the Articles of Confederation were pushed into, or were finished, and we moved to a constitution. And that would have been 1789. And I believe that Washington was president from 89 until like 98. And then Adams would have been 1798 until like 1802. And I think there was an election between Adams and Jefferson in 1802 to be the third, where Jefferson won to become the third. So that means I have to answer John Adams.
I also answered John Adams.
All right.
That would be John Adams.
All right.
Yeah, very, very good math there. Although I think it was the Constitution was put into place in 1786, I think.
Oh,
at least that's when the constitutional, that's when they held the Constitutional Congress. And maybe it took a couple of years until they finished the Articles of Confederacy and moved it to the Constitution. I'm not sure.
I'd bet you money at 1789 on that one. I would bet you on that one.
Well, Washington went in office in 89.
There you go. Well, that's then you're right. You're right. I had 86, but the math still holds up.
Your last category of the round, history. Who was executed by a firing squad in Utah in 1977?
That's all we get.
I'll throw you a bone. It was a murderer.
Oh, thank you. That's helpful.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, Utah is his middle name. There, he has an advantage here.
I'm come from the different Utah. I come from the Alabama Utah. I don't know anything about those Mormons.
Literally, you can say, well, dang, Utah's my middle name.
I'm trying to think of a convicted murderer in the 70s.
That was killed. Not like Manson, yeah. Still in jail, which I shouldn't have said that.
You're safe. He's not coming out.
No, I'm talking about giving Joel the hint that it's not Manson.
Oh, no. Yeah, no, I knew Manson's not dead. He's getting married soon. She left him, right? It was all a farce?
I have no idea.
They write that article a couple of times a year. Let's see. I'm going to say I'm really drawing a blank.
At first, I wanted to say it was going to be like an assassin, but there's a big difference between an assassin and a murderer. So yeah. I'm just going to write an answer down, and you can talk a little bit, and mine's almost certainly wrong, but it's what I'm going to go with.
Killed by firing squad in 77 in Utah. Can you choose it, I guess, maybe still? Could you, like, if you're on death row, can you choose a firing squad?
That's an interesting question. I don't know. People should check the show notes at trivialwarfare.com and find out.
So literally the only people I can think of that committed major crimes in the 70s, either I believe were never found or are currently sitting in jail, and I know that for a fact. So like I can't think of someone who's dead. Okay, I literally wrote down D.B. Cooper, which is not true because D.B. Cooper's, we don't even know who he is. But I didn't know. I guessed.
And I said John Wayne Gacy, and I'm just throwing a name out there.
I think it's too late. I thought him. I thought Bundy, too. But both of those guys were in the 80s, I was thinking.
And so. Bundy was either Florida. I think Bundy was Florida and Dahmer was Wisconsin or something like that. I might have those mixed up.
No, that was right.
Yeah.
So, what do we got?
I remember as a kid watching Saturday Night Live, and they did a skit around Christmas time before the execution, and they did a skit called Let's Kill Gary Gilmore for Christmas.
Gary Gilmore.
Wow.
His
name is Gary Gilmore?
Gary Gilmore.
Gary Gilmore doesn't sound like the kind of guy you kill with a firing squad.
No, he doesn't. He sounds like the kind of guy who
go to
wears
barbecue.
Glasses and his accountant at some office somewhere. All right, so we both had the same – we both got 20 points in that round, meaning going into the final, Jonathan's winning 130 to 110. Joel has proven to be a stiff match here. There's no runaway for me today.
Unlike when Chris is around. Sorry, Chris.
Yeah, we haven't had to take out any questions and ask new ones to make Joel look better.
That's good.
So what's the scoring on the final or the wagering?
You can bet any or all, and you have to tell us what the category is before you write down our wager.
It's going to be historical events in order.
Okay, so we're putting historical events in order.
I have a number.
I have a number as well. Okay, we're locked in.
All right, your final question.
Be ready to write these down, Joel.
Okay.
Put the following events in order from the earliest to occur to the most recent. Charles Lindbergh becomes the first person to fly solo across the Atlantic Ocean. Amelia Earhart vanishes over the Pacific Ocean. Prohibition in the United States ends. And Congress approves the 19th Amendment giving women the right to vote.
Wow. That's a well put together question.
Oh,
I like that question.
Thank you, sir.
That was something, you know, sometimes you go widespread with big events. Sometimes you go more narrow with smaller events. That's a pretty cool one.
Yeah, those are, it's really well chosen.
It's a decent gap between them, but not too close, not too far.
Right. Okay, Joel, I have written mine down. I've written down the order I'm going to put them in. No, I wrote it down wrong again. Hold on. That, I don't know why I have a hard time with this. And then that. Okay, now I've written them down. and I've put my numbers next to them. I am locked in, so you can talk all you want.
Okay. First of all, the 19th Amendment comes before Prohibition ends, in my opinion, because one of the reasons why Prohibition went into effect in the first place is because the activity of the oftentimes female-led sobriety societies, et cetera, et cetera. So, like, I think that was those were dominoes that fell in place in that order. So I feel pretty confident about that. The question then is, does the airplane stuff come before, after, during the event of Prohibition? So is that bookended or not? Lindbergh comes before Amelia. I feel confident on that because a man would have done it first, especially at the time. And not only that, but I'm pretty sure that Amelia was sort of a contemporary and a follower of Lindbergh's. I think there was a little bit of back and forth there. Maybe they even flew together a couple of times. So I've got mine as well.
So you're locked in?
I am locked in.
Okay, so I totally messed up. I got the answer wrong. I realized that I made a mistake as soon as you started talking because Prohibition is the 18th Amendment and 21st Amendment is repealing Prohibition, which means it's after the 19th Amendment. And I was thinking Prohibition ended in 1921 because I was getting my numbers mixed up. It's not 1921 that it ended. It was a 21st Amendment when it ended. So Prohibition ended in like 1929. So I messed up. And I know that. So I had said Prohibition 1, Lindbergh 2, 19th Amendment 3, and Earhart 4. So what did you put?
So I've got 19th Amendment 1, Lindbergh, Amelia vanishes, and then Prohibition ends at number 4.
Okay. So what is the correct answer?
All right. Well, first, 1919 was the 19th Amendment. 1927, Charles Lindbergh. 1933, Prohibition ends.
And Earhart was fourth.
1937, Amelia Earhart.
Oh, Joel, you missed it. You flip-flopped Earhart in the last one. If I had realized that it was the 21st Amendment and 19th Amendment, I think I could have gotten it, but I totally botched that. So neither of us got it right. We both failed miserably.
This is going to end badly for me.
What did you wager?
I wagered 75 points.
75 points.
Yeah.
I wagered, what's that big number? You see, it looks like the planet Saturn.
Zero.
Oh. So the final score is Joel with 35, Jonathan with 130.
Oh, man.
Jonathan takes it down.
Destroys me. I would like to suggest to your listeners, they can come over to my show next week, Always Listening, or later this week, as a matter of fact, as we review Trivial Warfare, and I guarantee you the scores will be the other way around.
Oh, smack talking.
So, yeah, that's actually a great reminder. Everybody who enjoys listening to us should go check out Always Listening. I believe they're going to release the Trivial Warfare episode in a couple of days. A couple of days after you hear this, they should be releasing that episode. But if I were you, I would go check out the show, look at the backlog, look at the history, and, I mean, look for other podcasts that you might be interested in and see what's out there.
Yeah, we've got a 70 plus reviews already under our belts as our former show title Pod on Pod, and you can check those out as well. But the other cool thing that we're doing, Jonathan, is we're giving listeners a preview of the shows that we've got upcoming. So we're going to be reviewing you next. We're going to be reviewing Invisibilia. We're going to be reviewing a show called Edacious, which is a food talk for gluttons show. That's the subtitle, a neat show. And then we're also going to be talking about the folks at Ivy Envy. Those will be our next reviews coming up. So what we've suggested to a lot of people, if you haven't heard of those shows, go listen to an episode or two of that, then come listen to our review and see what, if our tastes match up or whatever. You'll have a better context even for our review.
And I'll put a plug in right now for Invisibilia. I've only listened to one. It was the first episode. It was incredible. That was a fantastic first show. I highly recommend if you're somebody interested in psychology or why people do the things they do, or I'm trying to think of other people that would be interested in it. If you're a deep thinker, go check out Invisibilia.
Just a fan of good audio, man. You know, they tell some wonderful stories, and there's wonderful stories well told as well. But you know, we really like to highlight podcasts of all different sizes. You know, yours is a good example of that, as well as the really big shows, like the shows coming from NPR. And we've reviewed, you know, WTF with Mark Maron. We've reviewed Serial. We've reviewed, you know, Stuff You Should Know, some of those bigger shows that are always at the top of iTunes. But we like to expose people to some of the deeper cuts as well.
Awesome. So let's get into some housework here. I want to give a shout out to our Warhead of the Week. As you know, our Warheads are the people who have signed up for our fan club / mailing list. They get my newsletter that goes out. Anybody who gets that knows that I talk very specifically about how we're doing, how many people are listening, what we're trying to do to increase listenership. It's really a cool inside story on what we're trying to accomplish here. So if you're interested in that, you can go to trivialwarfare.com and hit the Become a Warhead link. And Amy Ningen, I think I'm pronouncing that right. Amy, I hope I'm pronouncing it right. It's N-I-N-G-E-N. Amy signed up a while back. She's probably the oldest Warhead that I haven't done a shout out to yet. So I wanted to say thanks for listening, Amy. We appreciate you. And good luck with everything that you're doing. And let's see, there was an announcement that I mentioned earlier in the show that I wanted to make today. This is the first time you're hearing this. We at Trivial Warfare are going to be picked up by a network. Yes.
Whoa.
We're becoming official in a sense. Trivial Warfare in the next couple of weeks is going to be making a transition. If it hasn't already happened, because you know we record on a delay, we are going to be a part of the Blog Talk Radio Network.
Yay!
All right. So you heard Joel mention that Always Listening is a Blog Talk Radio show. Trivial Warfare will become a Blog Talk Radio show as well. Blog Talk is making a concerted effort to get promising new shows on their stations, on their networks. And so they've been working with creative talent to accomplish that. And so Always Listening with Joel and Trivial Warfare with me and Chris is one of the ones that they picked up.
Jonathan, I'm so excited to hear that, man. You and I have been talking behind the scenes for a couple of weeks about, you know, our experience getting to know Jay Soderberg and getting to know the folks over at Blog Talk. You had a outstanding previous relationship with Ramona Rice, who's
yep.
over there as the Sports Gal Pal podcast. And you know, I talked recently on our show about this move and about the fact that if you'd go back in time and you'd ask me a year and a half ago or 2 years ago or 3 years ago, would you think about in the future moving to Blog Talk Radio? I would have told you where to stick it, man. I really would have. They were a very different company. They were a very different company, let's say 18 months ago, 2 years ago.
Right.
And it is exciting to see them see the opportunity in podcasting, see the opportunity in this space, the massive amount of talent that's out there and the massive amount of passion, both from the creators and the audience, and want to help take advantage of that and want to help harness that and want to help, you know, foster that a little bit. So kudos to you, man. We're glad to have you aboard. They're doing some really cool things. I know, you know, one of the reasons that I was excited to go was because this increases our opportunities to expand, to
exactly.
make new shows. I've got more show ideas, you know, and I need help. I need help with the back end. I need help with the hosting. I need help with all of those aspects. And they've got those things to offer. So yay, man. We can't wait to hear what's next from you especially.
Well, and there'll be more announcements to come, not network announcements, but tweaks, little things that we might do a little bit differently as we grow and as we consider how to put the best show on moving forward. So keep listening for that. All right. So you guys know where to find us. I dropped plugs all throughout the show about checking out the show notes at trivialwarfare.com. So if you've never done that, we really have a lot of fun with those. I put movie clips out there. I put funny skits out there. Anything that I think relates to what we talked about, and obviously we talk about a lot of stuff, ends up in the show notes in either a YouTube clip or a picture or a link to a page where you can learn more about it. So I encourage you to check that out. And if you haven't already, you should pop over to iTunes and hit us with a review. And I'm going to tell you that we have had a slew of reviews come in over the last, call it, probably month. We jumped from 9 reviews to about 16 reviews in the last month. So that's a really cool thing. And if you guys indulge me for a second, I'm meant to have iTunes up. I want to read a couple of them. I typically like to read all of our reviews to you guys, but there are too many right now. to read all at once. So here's a couple of the reviews that we received over over the last couple of weeks. We have someone named Scal E. Wag. They said, I listened to my first podcast a month ago and became hooked. I immediately went to the beginning and listened all the way through to the current one. They're competitive but respect each other, and I'm always entertained. I learned a lot with every listen, and I'm humbled by their trivia knowledge. That's from Scal E. Wag. Gotta like that. Now, Joel, if I'm not crazy, here's a review from you.
Yeah, I think so.
The Rogue's Life.
That's right. That's me. That's where you can find me on Twitter, at The Rogue's Life.
And Joel said, quote, let me put some words in your mouth. What a great show. I wish I'd have thought of it first. For trivia heads without a local group to play with, this is especially a godsend. Thank you for that, Joel. We appreciate you.
Hey, no, absolutely, man, and I mean it every word of it. I don't know about you guys, but I did the bar trivia thing a lot when I was in college. I especially like my second and third year of college. I would I'd show up early in the afternoon, and I would be there until late in the evening or early in the morning. Yeah. You know, and play the little NTN network, the little blue.
Oh, so you were using the machines?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, absolutely, man. Yeah, you get those little machines, and that way you could play not only against everybody in your bar, but you could play against the national network too. But I don't have a group anymore to go, and with four kids at home, I don't have the evenings available to run off. So I put you in my ear, and then I can get my trivia fix without having to take away time from my kiddos.
What's funny is I've never actually done the little blue machine trivia. I've only gone to live shows, like the one Mark hosts. Mark's a member of, or is a host for a company here in Jacksonville called Trivia Nation. They're not just in Jacksonville. They're all over Florida and into Georgia now. And it's live hosts who are doing questions and answers just like the ones that we do on our show. So, it's a lot of fun to get together with your friends and compete against other groups in person. So that's the experience that we try and recreate. Now, we did have one review. We got our first review that was not five stars. I know. My feelings were a little hurt, I have to admit. Actually, but I'm the kind of guy who loves feedback, so it's pretty good, actually. It was four stars. It was from Jay Thorson, and Jay said, too many Florida-specific questions. Speculation while answering leaves too much uncorrected information. So Jay has a couple of good points there. We have had a couple of final questions that were Florida, even Jacksonville specific, and I think that most of those were because we had to think of one on the fly. And so Jay, if your first name starts with a J, I'm sure it's not actually Jay, but I agree with you. Hopefully won't be doing that again. Those were spur of the moment kind of things. The speculation part, we don't know everything, obviously, and so we can't always say that what we're saying is right. We do try and put caveats out there that we don't know for sure that what we're saying. But if I ever find out or realize that anything wasn't correct, I absolutely put a note in the show notes indicating that we were wrong and providing the correct information. So you can check it out there. And if you have direct feedback, if you hear that we've said something wrong and you want to let us know so that we can correct it, you can reach out to us at trivialwarfare@gmail.com. And let us know about it, because we obviously want to make sure that our information is as good as possible. So thank you for your reviews, guys. Keep them coming. We appreciate you. And I think we're about to wrap up. Does anybody have anything else they want to bring up?
No, man. I just had a great time. I appreciate you guys for letting me be a part of it.
Thank you for coming on. Okay, so that's Mark. I'm going to do this for Chris. I'm not good at it. That's Mark. That's Joel. I'm Jonathan, and this is Trivial Warfare, where it's not just trivia, it's war. Bye, guys. And scene. He
didn't have the
dreadlocks.
Look. Those guys were really good looking. Yeah.
Oh, hey.
They were
hey
pretty.
Now. Hey now. Okay. Round six?
Did we do a scoring update?
Yeah, we did.
Oh. Sorry.
It's 110 to 90.
I fell asleep there for a second, apparently.
That's when I called him Jordan.
Oh, that's right. I was still dreaming about New Kids there.
and then Milli Vanilli got you all verklempt.
Yeah, I did.
That's right.
Oh, it's getting hot in here.